We get it. You're busy. You don't have time to waste on the mainstream media. That's why Salem News Channel is here. We have hosts worth watching, actually discussing the topics that matter. Andrew Wilkow, Dinesh D'Souza, Brandon Tatum, and more. Open debate and free speech you won't find anywhere else. We're not like the other guys. We're Salem News Channel. Watch anytime on any screen for free 24/7 at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody, it's in the Charlie Kirk Show. Continuing resolution, working through Christmas. We go through the latest legislative fight in Washington, D.C. And just a reminder, you are what you import into your nation. We talk about that as well. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Subscribe to our podcast. Open up your podcast application and type in Charlie Kirk Show. Become a member today, charliekirk.com, and click on the Members tab. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Members tab. Get involved with Turning Point USA, the nation's most important organization, tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. You can subscribe to the Charlie Kirk Show podcast and get your friends to do the same. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. What are your plans for Christmas? Hopefully, your plans are to spend time with your family. You might say, Charlie, it's so far off. Why are you talking about Christmas? Ah, Christmas and plans for Christmas and the New Year's is currently the most important thing overshadowing the upcoming legislative calendar and legislative fights. I've been around for about 11 years, and I could tell you that time off for Christmas is a very big deal for people in Washington, D.C. The idea that they might have to work through Christmas. Thou shall never lift a finger during the Christmas season is one of the commandments of the Uniparty in Washington, D.C. That is where they get all of the graft and the trips and the praise. It's where they get to go home and enjoy the excesses of being a member of the ruling class. Taking time off for Christmas has been a time-honored tradition of the last couple decades. Right near Christmas is where you get the real garbage passed. That's where you get the 1,000-page spending bills of CRs that go for 18 months. Pork, insider deals, every agency getting special bonuses. Because everyone wants to go home for Christmas, and no one wants to be the Grinch that stole Christmas. Now, mind you, remember back, that is when Newt Gingrich shut down the government. People forget this. Newt Gingrich shut down the government. In fact, he was on the front page of Time magazine. You guys can find it. The Grinch, or the Gingrich that stole Christmas. When the government shut down right before Christmas, Newt Gingrich leveraged Christmas break to get real spending cuts. We got a balanced budget for the first time in decades. Last time we got a balanced budget was because Speaker Gingrich used the leverage of Christmas break to shut it all down. But in the last couple of years, specifically the last decade, Christmas has been an opportunity to take advantage of lawmakers' desire to get on a flight, go home, and say, it's all good. The government is funded. Our friends are paid off. All the little crony cutout deals have been administered. Don't make me work beyond about December 18th or 19th. And they could push that envelope a little bit. Maybe December 20th, December 21st, December 22nd, maybe. But boy, if you're asking a lawmaker to work December 23rd, you'll have a revolt. Now, Donald Trump did it a little bit with the tax bill, and there were some very unhappy lawmakers. We have to have our Christmas break. We want to get back to Christmas break. Meanwhile, the country is burning. The border is open. We are bleeding money, $33 trillion in debt. And understand, the tape we're about to play for you with Speaker Johnson and a lot of the lawmakers saying, well, maybe we need a CR. Any excuse they give, what's really the issue is that they don't want to have to demand their members to work through Christmas. That their comfort, their trip back home, having a nice breath for Christmas is far more important than the well-being, the vitality, or the longevity of the United States of America. So you must understand that, because they're going to be saying a lot of different excuses. And here's where we are. Speaker Johnson, praise God that he's Speaker of the House, biblical worldview, godly man. He is now caught up in a whirlwind of what it's like to actually run a Republican Congress in the midst of a uniparty swamp. Speaker Johnson is saying, well, look, we might have to just do one more. Just one more continuing resolution. Come on, we just got to do one more all the way through January 15th. Why is that? It's obvious he doesn't want to make people work through Christmas because he says, well, we need some breathing room. No. No breathing room. Work through Christmas. You guys have destroyed this country through complacency and some intentional behavior. Work through Christmas. You get no Christmas break. The people that you are harming put you in D.C., not that you could have nice trips and enjoy the pleasantries of life and the luxuries of being a congressman. Mike Johnson says, look, well, we need some breathing room. No breathing room. Shut down the government. 12 spending bills. Stay in D.C. through Congress through Christmas. Not a day off. That is what a serious country would do. They'd say, wow, we had 8 million illegals come into this country under Biden. We're $33 trillion in debt. We're borrowing $2 trillion a year. Our kids are killing themselves in record numbers. We have opioid deaths and we have inner city gang violence. A lot of our kids can't read. We're on the verge of two regional wars that could become a world war. We have the trans woke ideology infecting our military. We have Jack Smith out of control. Maybe our Christmas break needs to take a backseat to the well-being of the nation. Here's Speaker Johnson saying that he favors a continuing resolution through January 15th. Now, I'm not doing this to make you feel disappointed in Speaker Johnson, because to be honest, I'm not disappointed. I told you guys he was going to let you down, and he is letting you down. A CR would be an absolute letdown to every single one of you that thought things were going to change. This is business as usual. Imagine if Republicans said, no, we're going to stay in D.C. We're going to do Christmas in D.C. We'll fly our families in. We're going to come in and have a Christmas in Washington, D.C. and work for the American people. Too bad. Doesn't matter if you guys wanted to go home to Birmingham or Tallahassee or Dallas this year, because the stakes are so high and Congress has not worked for literally over a decade. We are going to put it on our shoulders. We're going to get it done. Instead, Speaker Johnson, and he's probably just kowtowing to the, you know, the clamoring of the old bulls. You better not make us work during Christmas. I want to be able to go home. I want to be able to watch a bowl game or whatever they do while the country collapses. Play cut 10.
Would you be comfortable then with a short-term funding bill that funds the government, say, until January or perhaps April? Is that something that you're considering?
Well, I've talked to my colleagues about this in the race for the speaker's race. I mentioned that I would favor, as for purposes of discussion, to build consensus around, if there indeed has to be a stopgap funding measure, that we would do that until January 15th. And the reason for that is it gets us beyond the end of the year push. And oftentimes the Senate tries to jam the House and force an omnibus spending bill. We're not doing that here anymore. We're having single subject bills in our separate appropriations bills.
So there's some really good in that statement, and then there's some troubling. He's talking about single subject bills, but he's looking at this all wrong. He's looking as if the Senate will have leverage over you. Speaker Johnson, you have to put the leverage on the Senate. Don't play defense, play offense. That's the issue right now. Here's what you should have said, in my personal opinion. Maria, no CR. We're working through Christmas. Put your working boots on. Memo is out to Pelosi, Jeffries, AOC. If you guys want to go up and have a Christmas break, so be it. We're working here. What Speaker Johnson should do is he should say, I've sent out a notice to all Republican members to change their Christmas plans. We're working through the end of the year. Christmas in D.C. Bring it on. Remember when President Trump shut down the government and he spent Christmas literally in Washington, D.C. He spent Christmas in the White House, shut down the government. He said, I'm going to take responsibility. I'm going to stay in D.C. He did that over the border, by the way. Now, they've already done 5 out of 12 individual bills. Spent 3 weeks on the speaker's thing, but now I have to get another excuse. Oh, well, because we spent so long on the speaker's thing, we have to punt for a CR in January. Unacceptable. Not going to happen. Shut down the government. No more CRs. No more excuses. I'll tell you right now, you go to January, and then what does Maria say? Oh, I'll just go to April. And then they're going to say, it's an election year, polling. Let's just go to December. They never actually do the thing. It's always an excuse. No more. Line in the sand. Red line. You have plenty of time. Get to work. Get to work and start delivering results for the American people. Use leverage. Work 24/7 now, and you can even finish before Christmas. But that would require lawmakers doing something they don't want to do, which is get in the room, go through budgets, do not even, they won't even do zero-based budgeting, but any form of budgeting that's not a CR. Speaker Johnson, draw a line in the sand. Shut it down if it's necessary. No more CRs. Strong Cell is amazing. I got to tell you, the combination of NADH, CoQ10, and collagen is really something. You know, people ask me, they say, Charlie, how do you keep your energy up? How do you just keep on pushing? Look, part of it is diet, nutrition, but I'll be honest, I take supplements really seriously. Fact check me on this. You can say, oh, Charlie, I'm going to fact check you. Type this into your search engine. NADH. Just type it in. What does it tell you? It might tell you that it is the secret to living long, anti-aging properties, more energy. Well, all of that is being proven in more and more clinical trials. NADH is a precursor so that your mitochondria can remain healthy and vibrant. The elites, a lot of billionaires, people with a lot of money, they spend a ton of money on NAD. It's a fact. NAD just might be your secret weapon for more energy. I take NAD every single day. I could tell you that NADH compared with CoQ10, the trials show very, very good things. I don't take my word for it. I mean, honestly, my word should be good for something, but fact check me. Look at it. And if you do it over 30 days, you'll see an increase in energy. I wake up better than ever before. NAD can help you potentially, again, fact check me on this, with depression, anxiety, other issues that you might be dealing with. It is nature's gift to you so that you might have extra energy and mental clarity. You guys can use promo code Charlie for 20% off. It's strongcell.com/Charlie. NAD might be nature's secret weapon for you. I love it. I take it every single day. Try it for at least 30 days to see the maximum benefit. And let me know, has NAD helped your life? Strongcell.com/Charlie. Check it out. Strongcell.com/Charlie. I love this email I just received. Charlie, I spent 28 years working as a paramedic. I spent many a Christmas on duty because we were needed to be there for our community. Congress needs to work, especially in the times we are in now. What a powerful point. How many police officers work on Christmas? A lot. They work on Thanksgiving. People in the ER work on Christmas. Why can't Congress work on Christmas? Are they better than us? Well, they think they are. A lot of people work on Christmas. I've worked on Christmas before. I've worked on Thanksgiving before. Yeah, it's not ideal. It's not fun. You just do it. They have had every Christmas off for the last 10 or 20 years. And yes, part of it is symbolism. Part of it, you could just be like, look, we care so much that we're not going to go home. And here, we all know what happens. Christmas is the time when all the graft comes in. I guarantee you when Menendez got paid off on all those gold bars by the Egyptians, it was probably during Christmas. When the graft was just flowing, the gravy train was flowing. These guys come home and they're treated like heroes by the ruling class. Thanks for that government contract, pal. They don't want to be in D.C. in the room. Now, I mentioned this last week, but it's worth repeating. Speaker Johnson is making it seem as if he does not have leverage. And again, I'm cheering for Speaker Johnson. Godly man, new to the job, can't be bought and paid for. So let's just take a step back. The media and the establishment type say, but we don't control the Senate and we don't control the White House, so we only have so much leverage. That is, of course, technically true, but hold on. Beep, beep, back up. We mentioned last week that there's a little bit of a secret weapon right now. The secret weapon are 4 red state Democrats that are hoping, that are praying for a Christmas CR. There are four people, four, that are right in the middle of very serious challenges to their reelection. They want a Christmas miracle. You know who is begging and pleading for no tough votes before Christmas? You know who wants nothing more than actually having to reform the federal budget and close the border? Are four Democrats that are up in 2024 that need to become household names. Speaker Johnson needs to name them in every single interview. Yes, we don't control the Senate, but the Senate majority contains four Democrats that are up in 2024 in red states. Only one of them is probably not called red, maybe red state, that's Arizona, but three of them are very red states. And they are, of course, Sherrod Brown of Ohio, Democrat up in 2024. John Tester of Montana, Democrat up in 2024. Joe Manchin in West Virginia, Democrat up in 2024. And Kyrsten Sinema, Democrat independent up in 2024. Speaker Johnson needs to ignore the noise and zero in on these four like a surgical laser strike and force them to take tough votes. So the best case scenario is they actually defect away from Chuck U. Schumer, and you might actually get some legit border enforcement funding, not just paperwork funding, but some real changes in the budgetary process. That would be great for the country. Or you force these four Democrats to have to challenge leadership, and you might actually get the Senate to not be a far left-wing Democrat Senate, but maybe a neutral center-right Senate, because these four right there, Tester, Sinema, Manchin, Sherrod Brown, they are in the hot seat, and they have not received nearly enough media attention. All of it's been about, well, you know, we have tough votes in the House. No. You have to play offense. If you're not playing offense, you're losing. What does Solinsky say? Keep the pressure on. Now, our side doesn't game anything out. Our side doesn't have a war room. They don't have, you know, any sort of whiteboards. The RNC is too busy partnering with NBC News with debates, literally. But if we game this out, we said, what is the leverage we have? Okay, we control the House by a couple seats, but the Democrat majority is not actually a traditional Democrat Senate majority. Four of the members in the Democrat majority who are up in very tough reelection fights in states, three of which states that Donald Trump won by double digits, Ohio, Montana, West Virginia, have three and four, if you count Sinema, very nervous Democrats. Very nervous Democrats that don't want to take tough votes. So Speaker Johnson should go up and do a press conference and say, our entire legislative agenda will be focusing on Kyrsten Sinema, Joe Manchin, Sherrod Brown, and John Tester. And interestingly enough, that would actually get the turtle, McConnell, really excited, because the turtle wants to become Senate, well, allegedly wants to become Senate Majority Leader again. He would love to focus on putting them on defense, use the small majority and leverage it into a bigger issue, and force those four red state Democrats to do some work for once. Don't bail them out with a Christmas miracle. I want to talk about ReliefFactor.com. I want you guys to check out ReliefFactor.com. 100% drug-free, knee pain, back pain, joint pain, elbow pain. Check out Relief Factor Energy. Help makes your body make nutrients readily available. Relief Factor Sleep. I know a lot of you are probably having trouble sleeping. Relief Factor Sleep could be the best solution for you. Everybody goes to bed, not everybody sleeps. We're all about helping people live lives that are filled with connection, exploration, passion, and emotion. That is what his life is all about. Make sure you guys are sleeping well. It's a major part of life. Check it out right now. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. So one of the legislative priorities right now of Speaker Johnson, understandably, is to get funding to Israel. Let's play cut two.
As soon as I took the gavel, our work began, and we passed the resolution, as you noted, in strong support of our strong ally and great friend Israel. We had to do that. And then I flew last night to Las Vegas and spoke to the Republican Jewish Coalition, as you noted, to send a further signal that this isn't a priority for our country. We cannot allow the brutality and the just unspeakable evil that is happening against Israel right now to continue. We're going to stand with our friends.
I agree with that. So there is bipartisan support in the U.S. Congress, and they are clamoring to spend $14 billion to Israel. Now, I'm going to kind of just be the little bit of the wet blanket Can we get a budget of where that money is being spent and what it's going to be spent on? I'm all for helping Israel, all for it. I just want to know where that money's going. We shouldn't get in the habit of just sending money abroad with no idea where it's going. We did that with Ukraine. Bad idea. Israel is obviously much closer to the United States and our interests than Ukraine, but we have to do a much better job of auditing and getting financial and fiscal answers whenever we spend money abroad. That's number one. Number two, since there is bipartisan support on this, Speaker Johnson to say, okay, Israel funding with border funding. Why is that controversial? Why would that be controversial? Put Israel plus border. Now, understand the border funding must be very precise because just more border funding for people to do paperwork processing, that's not good enough. It needs to be border security and very strictly written. So when the Biden regime tries to ignore the law, you could sue in court and enforce it. Israel should, of course, be secure and supported. But America needs to be secured first and foremost. So therefore, you have the U.S. Congress that wants to send a foreign country $15 billion. And they should, by the way. So partner with that and put border funding with it and say, hey, you want to go spend $15 billion abroad to go secure Israel's borders? Why don't you want to do a dollar to secure our own border? Should be very simple. By the way, it's not saying one is not important. It is, though, saying that it is the United States of America that we should secure our own country. Now, this is going to be considered to be super controversial. And I just want to make sure you guys are all understanding. This should not be a big issue, guys, okay? If a foreign country, regardless of how admirable and important that struggle is, it's more important the security of your own country, you have a very serious problem. You got a real serious problem. I mean, you really don't have a country at that point. You're basically a globalist ATM piggy bank for other nations. Now, if I was in the center, the Congress, I would vote for money for Israel. I think it's important. Of course it is. Again, it's $14.3 billion in aid, $10 billion for assistance to the Department of Defense, including air and missile defense support, industrial base investments, and replenishment of U.S. stocks being drawn down to support Israel. The aid aims to booster Israel's air and missile defense system, Iron Dome. $3.7 billion for State Department to strengthen Israel's military and enhance U.S. embassy security. That seems a little high. $3.7 billion for embassy security. Why should it be easy? I'm just asking, I'm not saying this sarcastically. Why is it easy to get consensus to send money abroad, but it's very difficult to even get a dollar to secure your own domestic nation? And I'm not one of those guys that says, oh, Israel is nothing. No. I'm asking a very simple moral and political question. Why the controversy about America, but the enthusiasm for Israel? Let's play another piece of tape here. Play cut 11, please.
What is your response, and have you spoken to the president about his request to tie the money together between Israel and Ukraine?
Well, listen, we're going to move a standalone Israel funding bill this week in the House. There are lots of things going on around the world that we have to address, and we will. But right now, what's happening in Israel takes the immediate attention, and I think we've got to separate that and get it through. I believe there'll be bipartisan support for that, and I'm going to push very hard for it.
Okay, so we're trying to split Israel and Ukraine. That's fine. But if I'm going to use Speaker Johnson's own words, immediate attention, doesn't our U.S. southern border demand immediate attention? Now, this is not the same thing, because what happened in Israel was a targeted genocide of the Jewish people. But it is fair to say that an open border has contributed directly and indirectly to hundreds of thousands of American deaths. They're not exactly the same thing. The cartel is coming in and killing Americans, but they're not going in and killing 1,400 intentionally and putting babies allegedly in ovens, which is a new story. I don't know if it's confirmed or not. I heard on Mike Gallagher's show. But it is fair to say that sleeper cells could be coming across the southern border, that we could have sleeper cells in the United States. Hamas might be in America because we don't have border security. And we already know that we have the drugs and we have the guns and we have opioids, we have fentanyl, We also have the criminals and the narco traffickers. We know that. I want you to email me, freedom@charliekirk.com. How did we get to a place, and how should we think about being in a political situation where the agreeable thing to do is to send money abroad, but the disagreeable thing is to secure your own nation? Hamas is a threat to the United States, so that is one of 100 reasons to secure our own border. You see, the anthem that propelled Donald Trump to victory in 2016 of America First is not just a catchy slogan. It is the base of the modern Republican Party and should be the base of any country. And so this really could reveal an identity crisis. And I want to make my position clear for the fourth or fifth time. I'm not even saying you shouldn't vote for the Israel funding package. I'm not saying that we should leave Israel to fend for itself. But I'm also not a citizen of Israel, nor am I a voting member of the Knesset, nor are your elected officials. Their first obligation is to America and the nation. And if you believe that Israel and our border are international interests, then you should wrap them together into a funding bill. Wouldn't that make sense? But instead, they're going to say that this is too controversial. Why are you trying to tie up Israel funding to something that could be considered to be not consensus? You have people that have sworn an allegiance to the United States of America. Well, not sworn allegiance, just they've been sworn in as office holders to the United States of America that are demanding a de-emphasis of the American sovereignty and the American nation and an emphasis of a separate foreign country. It would be one thing if we didn't have 8 million people coming into America. 8 million people have illegally crossed into America under Joe Biden so far. And I am exhausted with our leaders treating our home and our own nation as an ATM machine for foreign wars and pet projects, even though this one is a noble one. Ukraine one is not. This is a noble venture. It's a righteous one. But even noble and righteous projects should be put on a list of second, third, fourth, or fifth of priorities when the country that you actually live in, the country that maybe your kids or grandkids will live in, is being overrun and invaded. So therefore, shouldn't it be easy to do both? Oh no. Congress is going to want just a clean Israel spending bill. And while I will voice support for that, if that ends up happening, I'll be disappointed that the border was not taken as seriously as that. You cease to exist as a country if you don't govern in the best interest of your country. We've basically become the American colony. People from all over different parts of the world don't speak the same language, don't have the same values. We have a good, robust economy, and we basically distribute funding and throw them out like frisbees. It's a colony of Earth, less than a nation. People come here, impose their values on us, extract our wealth, and then want us to send their money abroad. The same way the Spanish Empire famously harvested silver from New Spain. If we still are a country, which we are less and less, we're more just kind of a rough mixture of a colony. 50 or 60 years ago, 70 or 80 years ago, they'd say, hold on, if our own nation is being invaded, let's do a clean bill on that, and then we can worry about our allies. And maybe we could do both at once. But you are called a bad person. In fact, I'm going to be attacked for this segment because I want my own country to be secure, even simultaneously with assisting the foreign country. That should expose how sick and poisoned the American political system has become. My kids will live and die here in America, not in Israel. That should matter. And that should get our lawmakers' attention. Instead, it won't. Have you become a member of the Charlie Kirk Exclusive yet? It's so easy. All you have to do is go to members.charliekirk.com today or charliekirk.com and click on the members tab. Sign up for access to all of our exclusive content. Never before seen interviews, weekly columns written by me, all of my most recent speeches in one place, videos where I answer your questions, and so much more. Plus, we're going to be inviting members to Zoom calls with me starting very soon, so do not miss out. Help keep us uncensored by providing you with new content daily by becoming a member. Your support means the world to me and the whole team. Sign up today at members.charliekirk.com. If we have blessed you in any way, if this show has impacted your life, if you like the impact that we are making for other people and young people especially, consider becoming a member. It's affordable for people of all income levels. You guys get amazing perks and benefits, and it's only beginning. So go to members.charliekirk.com. That is members.charliekirk.com. Joe Biden's numbers are down 11 points among Democrats, from 86% approval in September to 75% in October. It's called Biden's 1979 moment, Axios writes. Three destabilizing overseas crises have taken place during the Biden presidency: the chaotic withdrawal from Afghanistan, Russia's invasion, and of course, what is happening in Israel. The base of the Democrat Party, they don't like Jews. They might hide it and they say, oh, you know, we like, you know, the Palestinian Authority and all this, but there is a fair amount of Jew hatred. There is really no other way to square it. Now, interestingly enough, most American Jews are members of the Democrat Party. There's a lot of reasons for this. Happened post-FDR. They've been led to believe that the American right are fascist, like the Nazis, and so they must oppose it. There is a serious, what I hope is an awakening, or could at the very least just be exposure of fault lines or a political earthquake in the American Jewish community. Now, the American Jewish community is not large in number. There's, what, 5 or 6 million American Jews, many of which in New York and Florida, a lot in the North Shore of Chicago. The American Jewish community is very, very powerful in American politics of who they support. And yes, in the policy shaping of the Democrat Party. And so Joe Biden has a decision to make. Joe Biden's base is very sympathetic with the Palestinian Authority, Hamas, Gaza wing. Joe Biden's donors are far more sympathetic with Israel. So Joe Biden is a balancing act. Now, Donald Trump never had a balancing act with this because the base of the Republican Party is actually far more supportive of Israel than the base of the Democrat Party. This is what I always laugh when I talk to some of these liberal Jews. They say, oh, there's such a problem with anti-Israel hatred on the right. I said, what are you talking about? If anything, it's the opposite. In fact, the criticism is that the American right might be too pro-Israel at times. I don't believe that, but that's the criticism that is usually put forward. Trump is beloved in Israel, gave back the Golan Heights, moved the embassy to Jerusalem. So that's not true. So Joe Biden is trying to split the metaphorical baby, and he's not succeeding. Joe Biden had a safe space with a bunch of Muslims in the White House about 2.5 weeks ago, just assuring them that everything's fine in Gaza. Joe Biden is playing both sides of this, and threading the needle is not going well. His numbers are collapsing. Now, understand that for those of you that care about Israel, those of us that care about Israel, and more specifically, Jews that care about Israel, the future is not very bright. All the nonprofits that many secular Jews and even religious Jews have been supporting, it is not moving the dial. There is more anti-Israel sentimentality amongst both young conservatives and young liberals than ever before. America's demographic transition is an anti-Israel transition. And yet, secular Jews keep on pumping money into these nonprofits, keep on pumping money into these organizations. And I'll say it again, America's demographic transition is an anti-Israel transition. The third world sees Israel as a colonizer, as an oppressor. And so while you bring more and more Hispanics into America, they don't like Israel. They look at Israel as an oppressor on the oppressed. And so long term, those of you and those of us that care about the future of the Holy Land and the future of Israel, it's not good. And Joe Biden knows that his base is vehemently anti-Israel. And of course, Israel is seen as part of the West, so the base of the Democrat Party hates the West, so why would they want to continue supporting Israel? Richmond, California just voted to support Palestine and Hamas. And Richmond, California is one-third foreign. One-third of Richmond, California is foreign-born. Now, what is even more interesting is that secular Jews have been the most enthusiastic for open border policies the last 50 years, more so than almost any other group of people. And secular Jews, being supporters, both financially and also politically, of the importing of the third world, are now realizing that that big heart of compassion that they allegedly had for the third world is now subsidizing the downfall of America. Interestingly, they never wanted open borders for Israel, but they wanted open borders for America. Why? Remains a mystery. But the future of the fight for Israel, it's not looking too good, and Joe Biden's experiencing the beginning stages of that. Their good intentions can lead to a blind spot and the subsidizing of Jew hatred. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
When I grow up, I want to work for a woke company, like super woke.
When I grow up,
I want to be hired based on what I look like
rather than my skills.
I want to be judged
by my political beliefs.
I want to get promoted
based on my chromosomes.
When I grow up,
I want to be offended
by my coworkers
and walk around the office
on eggshells
and have my words policed
by HR.
Words like
grandfather,
peanut gallery,
long time no see,
no can do.
When I grow up,
I want to be obsessed with emotional safety
and do workplace sensitivity training
all day long.
When I grow up, I want to climb the corporate ladder
just by following the crowd.
I want to be a conformist.
I want to weaponize my pronouns. What are pronouns?
It's time to grow up and get back to work. Introducing the number one woke-free job board in America, RedBalloon.work.